Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code STAPLE20.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Kia unveils the new EV4. Tesla cuts prices of the Cybertruck again. And Peugeot unveils their vision for EVs this year. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the podcast, I will tell you about BYD's solid-state batteries. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. For Monday, 17th of February, I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Well, Kia surprised us late last night. Well, it was Sunday night my time, I think anyway, when the press release popped into my inbox with the exterior images of the new EV4. We thought we were waiting until the end of February to see that vehicle. But no, unlike many automakers lobbying for extensions from governments on electrification deadlines, Hyundai Motor Group, which includes Kia, is aggressively pushing ahead. And last night they sent me not one, but two new versions of the EV4. Let me explain. Now, the EV4 stands out not just for its timely launch, but because it's something different from the usual boxy SUV style. Looking forward to seeing this on the roads. The design remains largely unchanged from the concept version unveiled in 2023. It'll bridge the gap between the smaller EV3, my current crush, and the larger EV5, which will soon make its debut in Europe. EV4 will be marketed primarily as a 5-door hatchback in Europe. So, don't know where this leaves the Niro or the e-Niro. Well, I think we know, because design-wise, it's got that sort of flat, upright shape at the back, a hatchback style, very good for families, a direct competitor to also the Hyundai Kona, the ID3, the Renault Megane E-Tech, the Mini Aceman, and more. For markets outside of Europe, though, Kia will offer this as a 4-door fastback version of the EV4. And actually, it looks like they've extended the rear as well. Looks, you know, almost like a mirror of the front. Very interesting styling. It might take a little while to get used to, if that makes sense. You have to see this one in person. I think the hatchback is much more conventional. The fastback version, that's kind of got an elongated rear end, looks practical at least, but it has the same wheelbase as the hatchback, but a sleeker rear end and increased boot space with a coupe-like roofline and a large rear window. It's a feature missing from competitors like the Polestar 4. That's though obviously a different class of vehicle. Now, Both of the exterior photos sent last night have a half sunroof, so not a full glass roof, but that can be overdone actually sometimes, and oftentimes you just want a tinted sunroof that opens. So it's, you know, a half roof, which again is maybe a cost saving thing as well. If you ask me, nothing wrong with a tin roof and a sunroof if you do want a bit of fresh air coming in. The hatchback version, I think, will be more popular in European markets because of its conventional, traditional design and practicality. A shorter rear overhang as well than the saloon version, with unique tail lights and a bit of a light bar, which is very common at the moment as well, not just on EVs. Additionally, Kia announced the EV4 GT line, a higher level trim with sportier styling elements, winglets under the headlights and alloy wheels, but otherwise mechanically the same. While details about the battery options are not confirmed, I would think that you'd have a choice between 58 or 81 kilowatt hour batteries. Front wheel drive, rear wheel drive, no doubt will come in time. Maximum range would be around 350 miles. Now, speculation today from TopGear.com and also James Batchelor, a veteran journalist, these days writing in one of the places for Electrifying.com. So both great publications. They both say in their write-ups this morning or late last night that it'll have the 800-volt platform. Now, they know what they're talking about, but I think I disagree with that because I would expect this vehicle to have the lower cost 400-volt version of EGMP. That 800-volt platform we've seen in EV6 upwards does add cost, and I understand that this EV4, like the EV3 and the 5 and the EV2 we see soon, are the more affordable, lower voltage setups, which is still, by the way, allowing for charging at 128 kilowatts. So that's still acceptable. Maybe not. It's not a hardcore road tripper, but it keeps costs down. We'll wait and see when they give us the specs in 2 weeks' time. Kia plans to showcase some of the electric future vehicles on February 27th at the Tarraco Arena in Tarragona in Spain. This follows a similar event held in Korea about a year and a half ago where they promised three new electric models. This time we'll see the Kia EV2. In 2 weeks' time, we'll get all the details on the EV4 and their van called the PV5. Okay, let's move on. So it's good to get a car launch out of the way at the beginning of the week, isn't it, on a Monday morning? Now, here's some great news for buyers of the Tesla Cybertruck. Tesla is facing challenges with its Cybertruck, having difficulty selling it. And the first full year of production was obviously a lot less than they planned for, with a production run rate of 150,000, 200,000 a year. Mr. Musk talking about 250,000 Cybertrucks a year. I think they sold maybe between about 38,000 and 40,000. Since they launched the Cybertruck. So it's been disappointing until now, but that's good news for customers because Tesla is now increasing the discounts on vehicles made in 2024. The newer 2025 model is the one that qualifies for the tax credit of $7,500, which is probably going to go away after an act of Congress or maybe a budgetary thing or a fiscal event that the US can have and do some tweaks to that. But unlike its predecessor, the 2024 model didn't get the tax credit. So to address this, much like the other car makers have done, like Hyundai does with the IONIQ 5, where Hyundai will chip in $7,500 to effectively make up for it, Tesla is reducing prices by $4,000 for the standard model, $6,000 for Foundation Series. Tesla reportedly has thousands of unsold Cybertrucks, both piling up at the factories and in service centers as well. You can go get one today if you want. That 2-3 year wait is all gone. The current discount is larger than last month's offer. And like I said on last week's podcast, if you want a Cybertruck, I think if you've got the finances ready to go, either the, you know, your finance agreement or the loan, or if you're buying in cash, then hey, lucky you. Then if you can wait another month, because we're mid-Feb now, Feb 17th today. Anytime I think from mid-March onwards, when Tesla really aggressively need to hit some end of quarter targets, I think you can get a great deal on the Cybertruck. Analysts speculate the discounts could increase further by the end of the quarter, reaching $12,000 per vehicle as Tesla hits their targets. This aggressive pricing strategy underscores Tesla's challenge in reaching its production goal of 250,000 Cybertrucks a year without introducing more affordable options to attract a broader customer base. I had that debate with my friend Todd Malogny on the, not on this podcast, but the other one that I do called Batteries Included with the guys from the US on a Friday morning. We do the live stream on YouTube. And Kyle and Dom were both away a couple of weeks ago, so it's just Tom and I holding the fort. And I posed that question to Tom, not as a, you know, have you got the answer, but as a discussion point. at what price does the Cybertruck become attractive to people? So are people not buying the Cybertruck because it's just too expensive? Because they thought it was going to be a $40,000 truck at the entry level, and it's a $100,000 truck or an $80,000 truck. Do they buy it when the range gets bigger? Do they buy it when the price comes down? You know, what's the magical moment? You know, because you know, if the Cybertruck was $10,000, regardless of what it looked like, it would be stellar value and you'd go buy one. No brainer. If the Cybertruck was $40,000 with its, you know, the currently the $80,000 Cybertruck with its range and battery and limitations and features, if it was 40 grand, if it's Harper, would you go buy one? Is that a no-brainer? And, you know, I didn't expect Tom to have the answer, as it were, but because no one knows. But maybe it'd be a good debate for, you know, you and I to have or something. Maybe a question of the week. Oh, that's a good idea. Bring back question of the week and, you know, sort of discuss what will make Cybertruck fulfill its promise. Be interesting. Now, Tesla is activating its in-cabin radar with version 2025.2.6. In some of its vehicles, at least. Radar technology has been present in some Teslas for over 3 years, but as yet unused. A bit like Apple puts features into their devices sometimes, but doesn't switch it on just yet. Unlike cameras, the radar can accurately measure the size of objects and detect movement behind barriers by reflecting radio waves off surfaces. A bit like in my office out here, it's all connected up to Home Assistant and stuff. When I walk in, I've got PIR sensors, which are very reliable, and PIR has been around forever. But I also have millimeter wave sensors, which are much, much more sensitive. And so they will pick me up. If I'm sitting at my desk still, writing, even just my fingers moving on the keyboard keeps the lights on. Because if there's no movement in the studio here, all the lights go off and it shuts down. Which is bad if you're filming a video. But the PIRs, you've really got to wave your arm in the air. A bit like being in a toilet. You know, the lights go off if no one's moving. Waving your arms in the air while you're sitting on the toilet. Just me? You've not done that? Okay. You know, some bathrooms tell, you know, anyway. And I have millimeter wave in the office here. So it's common technology. And in a recent announcement about the Model Y, Tesla introduced 4D radar technology. Company executives explaining the radar would be crucial to identify passengers, the size of the passenger, and also where they're sitting to improve things like airbag deployment, or even if you leave unattended children in the vehicle. The radar would be able to pick up that you've left, you know, not a dog in the car, but a child in the car. It's more important as well to note that Tesla began incorporating cabin radar since 2022, but not all vehicles have it, so check which one you've got, and they might be turning it on. Next, Tesla has started to equip some of its supercharger cables. I think it's a trial, maybe just one site possibly, with a new type of cable to combat theft and vandalism. These high-speed EV chargers have become prime targets for criminals looking to steal copper. ChargePoint rolled out their solution recently with some sort of secret sauce in the cable. It makes it heavier and thicker, but it wasn't too bad. And that took a long time to get through. You couldn't do it with bolt croppers, you know, maybe an angle grinder, really going at it for several minutes. But a lot of these thieves don't want to be making that noise. They just want to cut a cable and go. Now Tesla is testing a system with a partner of theirs called Dye Defender. Dye as in D-Y-E, like, you know, food colouring, like, you know, clothing dye. It's designed to deter thieves by making you easy to identify. I think they use this technology as well in cash vehicles, security vehicles, taking cash out of banks and when they get moved and stuff. I think a lot of those security vehicles now have sort of like, they call it like DNA liquid or DNA water, where it's, you know, it's unique. So if you do steal, it all kind of explode and cover you in this stuff, and then you are clearly involved. So the way Tesla have used it is they've put this in a wrapper on the outside of the supercharger cables in a material they've called the cat strap. It's pressurized dye. And so if you even try and cut the Tesla cables, a bright blue stain squirts out. And it's made from stainless steel as well, so it's tough to cut through. Plus, it identifies you as trying to cut a Tesla cable. In addition, they've engraved the copper inside the wires with property of Tesla Motors. They've used Tesla Motors. I thought Tesla Motors was a thing that the old URL, wasn't it, before they bought Tesla.com. But Tesla Motors is engraved on the copper. I don't know. I think if you're a scrapyard and you're buying cut EV cables off some lowlifes, you're not going to care what is engraved on the copper in microscopic detail. You know, you're flipping it, aren't you? Just for the copper value. But anyway, fascinating to see if that works. These innovative solutions are really cool. Now, we'll take a break because I've been nattering for too much already. Got a lot of stories to get through. We'll talk about South Carolina's direct EV sales bill has stalled, and California is boosting EV charging. And those stories and more coming up. Stick around. Right, welcome back to the podcast. Maybe you heard an advert or two in there. Maybe you skipped the ads. That's fine. I do it on podcast too if my phone's next to me. Obviously not if I'm on the bike or something. But if you did listen to the ads, I did get some money for the commercials that get inserted when you download your podcast. I don't know what advert you hear. It depends on what time of day and what country you are, your IP address. I don't even know what advertiser you heard, but it does pay me a little bit of money to pay the bills. This is what I do for a living now, as you know. But the majority of my money comes from 222, I think, current individuals and businesses who contribute to the Patreon page and get the podcast ad-free. So if you hate ads and you want to get your ad-free experience to save you even more time, check out patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Now, Alan Favey is the new CEO of Peugeot, unveiling the plan for 2025 at the third E-Lion Day last week, emphasising their commitment to dominate the EV market in Europe. Now, Peugeot boasts the most extensive EV lineup of the mainstream brands, they say, highlighted by the introduction of the E and 5008s. There's a five-seater coming. The E5008 five-seater arrives soon. So if you don't want the option of seven seats in the E5008, it just gives you way more boot space. You might just want the five-seater version of that and maximizing cargo. The company introducing their new promise called Peugeot Electric Promise. Now, what that is an eight-year warranty on the battery and an eight-year warranty on the vehicle, which is very, very good. Wall box for home charging and an on-the-go charging pass. A lot of car makers do that. Well, last year, Peugeot's global vehicle sales was 1.1 million. Electric vehicles within that doubled. The brand saw the most significant increase in electric car sales to private customers in Europe. The new high-performance electric model of the E3 and 5008s with the dual motor, so 325 horsepower, all-wheel drive, that gets to dealerships soon, they told us, as part of this update. 213 horsepower motor on the rear axle, which is what we've been, on the front motors, which is what we've been used to, but they're adding 112 horsepower motor on the rear wheels. Additionally, Peugeot is, like I say, launching the five-seater version of the 5008. The long-range versions of both models lead their segment up to 700 kilometers on a single charge from those big 99 kilowatt-hour batteries. Peugeot's developed a battery preconditioning system linked to the cabin preheating to optimize charging times in cold weather. This feature will soon be managed automatically through the Trip Planner app, ensuring your optimal battery temperature for recharging during your planned stops if you are navigating to high-power chargers. Zeekr Group is next in the news. Zeekr is formed by merging Geely's brands, Zeekr and Lynk & Co. Volvo have disposed of their 30% in Lynk & Co. last week, and now they've announced plans to increase their international presence with over 200 stores worldwide this year. The company has an ambitious sales goal of 710,000 vehicles this year. Their goal is strategically expanding in Europe. This expansion aims to capitalize on opportunities, particularly in the UK market, where although they have to make right-hand drive versions, of course, but then you can sell them in Australia and other right-hand drive markets, of course, that we don't have those import taxes on Chinese cars. We didn't follow Europe. We didn't follow America. And so the UK remains a very interesting market to sell cheaper Chinese cars into. In addition to broadening its sales network, Zeekr revealed plans to launch a new vehicle featuring Level 3 autonomous driving at the Shanghai Auto Show. That'll be in April, expected to start mass production by the end of the year. That'll be hands-off, eyes-off, a bit like Mercedes do as well. The company is positioning itself in the high-end EV market. Zeekr vehicles start from about $41,000 in the US, in China equivalent, and Lynk & Co. starts at about $28,000. Of course, they want to sell in Europe as well. Now, let's go to California. I'd love to. It's freezing here today. Starting in July this summer, EV charging service providers will have the chance to apply for a share of up to $55 million in funding through the Fast Charge California project. This initiative aims to increase the number of DC fast charging stations at various publicly accessible sites across the state. It's a component of the broader California Electric Vehicle infrastructure project, which began back in 2017 now, under the guidance of the Centre for Sustainable Energy. Through that programme, they've installed 10,000 EV chargers to support 1.5 million light-duty EVs. The funding is open to those representing locations like convenience stores, gas stations and hotels. The incentives offered would cover up to 100% of the approved costs. $100,000 per charge port is the limit. They will prioritise publicly accessible chargers in tribal, disadvantaged and low-income communities. Let's go from California to South Carolina, where I thought this was an interesting story last week that's come to a conclusion very quickly. A new bill in South Carolina that would have allowed EV makers to sell directly to consumers and circumnavigate dealerships in South Carolina was stopped in its tracks as lawmakers decided to end the debate for the session. This legislation was designed to let companies without franchise agreements skip over dealerships and sell their vehicles to buyers. Companies like Scout Motors and Tesla supported the bill, arguing it increases choice. Scout Motors are building an EV plant, and the vehicles will be made in Richland County. But an employee that built the vehicle wouldn't be able to buy one. However, franchise dealership owners opposed the bill, claiming it would unfairly benefit EV manufacturers. They stressed that these automakers knew about South Carolina's dealership laws before even entering the market or making their first investments, and voiced concerns over job losses within local dealerships. Yeah, there's nowhere else in the world that I know that has a stronger dealership lobby than in the United States, and they will fight to keep it that way. Now let's talk a couple of charging stories. Alpitronic, the Italian manufacturer of DC fast charging, unveiling its megawatt charging system called the HYC-1000s, marking a shift of design for Alpitronics as well. I love this hardware. I've talked about them a lot, by the way. The Alpi stuff just always works. It's just brilliant, and it's quick. And I don't mind paying a bit more at certain charge point operators if I see they've got really nice hardware that I know is reliable. So until now, they've been putting the charging modules, the bricks, if you like, inside the chargers, and then doing, you know, power sharing and stuff that way. But now they're going to do it, I'm going to say, the Kempower way. That sounds like Alpitronic have copied Kempower, but it's only because Kempower were quite famous for doing it from scratch, I think, that way. So this system moves the design. All the power modules are situated outside the charging stations, and then customers have the option to order the system with either MCS or CCS plugs on them. They ship in July, so you'll see them hopefully at charging stations before the end of the year. Unlike earlier models where the power modules were inside the charging, physically the hardware that you were looking at, the HYC-1000s will, all the power stacks get housed in, you know, normally some big green or grey boxes a little while away. Sometimes behind a fence, sometimes not. And so this change enables each power stack to deliver up to 125 kilowatts, 25% more than the previous modules. That means they can output 1 megawatt on 8 stacks. The key advantage is that the power modules give them more flexibility in distributing power. Previously, the maximum output at any given location was restricted by the capacity of the installed chargers. Now, with 1 megawatt of power as a central resource, you can then allocate increments of 62.5 kilowatts at a time to various charge points. Because if you're new to the podcast, and you know, I don't mean to patronize anybody that knows how all this works, obviously if you're a long-time EV driver, you might understand this already, is that if you can divvy up the power into smaller blocks of, in this case, 62.5 kilowatts, you might get a Porsche Taycan, the brand new one, that turns up. Or, you know, some of the new Chinese stuff, like, oh, the new Smart, hashtag 5, that's going to, you know, pull a lot on a 400-kilowatt charger. It's got a 100-kilowatt-hour battery, 4C rate, so, you know, at its peak, it'll max it out. And so it would say, like, give me everything you've got. But as you know, as an EV, as a lithium-ion battery fills up, it then slows down. Sometimes it'll hold a fast peak rate. Sometimes it will then, you know, Tesla are quite famous for having a big hit, but then, you know, big fast number in the first few percent, but then it'll ramp down very quickly. Teslas aren't amazing charge curves in terms of holding it really high. And so after that, you don't want to then hog the power. And so as your battery fills up and your car is communicating with the charger, hey, now I only need 150, it can then release some of those power modules that it was using, because the car next you might have turned up. Now, that might only be able to pull 150, and then it can just distribute the power. Normally, when this is done, if you've already plugged in and you're using maximum power and somebody plugs in next to you, normally it won't then take power away from you, as it were. But there's different ways of doing it, I guess. I've seen some of the the Björn Newland videos in Thailand, and the chart, I forget the hardware, it's Thai hardware or Chinese hardware, and he was turning up and someone was plugging in next to him and it was just halving his charge speed straight away. So that's another way of doing it. It just literally splits the power between the two cars. But I think these were 150 kilowatt chargers anyway, so they weren't the fastest. But either way, that's great news for Alpatronic. Finally, Autel introduced several new chargers over the weekend as well. There's the MCS dispenser, an upgrade from their first-gen megawatt charging system. It's MCS2 is their name. The MCS is megawatt charging standard. So that's great new high-power charging coming in. There's also a Maxi Charger, which is a 480-kilowatt all-in-one DC fast charger, and the distribution system offering liquid-cooled dispensers that will deliver 480 kilowatts of power for scalable networks, they say, you know, commercial vehicle charging. Two vehicles can plug into each one, so over 200 kilowatts of power on each one. That's the new Autel stuff, again, coming this year. BYD at the second China All-Solid-State Battery Innovation and Development Summit Forum... Nice. Held on February 15th last week, the CTO, Chief Technology Officer of BYD, announced that they had moved forward with their 60 amp hour all solid state batteries, not semi solid state, but they're moving from pilot production line into putting these into vehicles this year, test vehicles, of course. And then it will be proper batteries by 2027 and widespread use by 2030. CATL announced last April a similar intention. So these Chinese companies are moving forward with all solid state batteries that will increase charge speed, which is crazy because current technology is crazy already in China, but also massively lower the weight of batteries in some cases. And they will be expensive to begin with, though. And so there'll be specific purposes. Now, selling your EV, you could get more money for it with a sponsor of this podcast. This isn't a sponsored segment. I just saw it was the news press release came out last week. Well, Recurrent has been around 4 or 5 years now. Recurrent are a Patreon partner of the show. And unlike the valuation services at the time, like Carfax, Kelley Blue Book, JD Power, there was no equivalent for EVs. So Recurrent offered a service that increases the resale of your EV. Now, they provide a detailed monthly report on battery health. By registering your vehicle with Recurrent using either the license plate or vehicle identification number, the VIN, you can access this free service. On average, it helps owners sell their vehicles, according to Recurrent last week, for $1,400 more than you would otherwise get if you can prove to the buyer of your vehicle that the battery is in good condition. The process of selling an EV through Recurrent is now designed to be transparent and hassle-free for the owner. Recurrent organizes a 24-hour mini auction where it pitches that vehicle out to dealerships. This approach spares sellers from having to negotiate individually, avoid scams and undervaluations by dealers. They can pick either the dealership they want to go with or the highest price and dispose of their EV that way. And the buyer, the dealer, knows from Recurrent about the state of the battery condition. They didn't pay me to say that. It's not a sponsored segment, but they are a Patreon supporter of this show at partner level. Thank you, Recurrent. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.